charge. Hello, and welcome to Ministry Now, a resource from the faculty at Southwestern Seminary, helping you to live your calling in an ever-changing ministry landscape. I'm Katie McCoy, and today we're talking about leading from the second chair. It's a concept familiar to those in the corporate and organizational world, but it also describes the situation of many men and women in ministry. Our guest today is Terry Stovall, Dean of Women from Southwestern Seminary. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's good to have the conversation today.
You know, before your tenure as a dean at a seminary, you also served as a women's minister and along with quite a long list of other different roles in a ministry. And so you also know a thing or two about leading a team through transition. So tell us what it is to be a second chair leader or leading from the second chair.
So second chair leadership is a term I learned when I was reading a book by Mike Bonham and Roger Patterson. And it's a term that really resonated with all the ministry positions that I have had through various churches and even here at Southwestern. So a second chair leader is a leader who has influence, who has values throughout the whole organization, but I'm still in a subordinate role. So what does that mean? Right? What does that really look like? So in a church, the pastor is your first chair leadership, your first chair leader. But those of us who are doing minister to women, student minister, preschool minister, children's minister, we have significant leadership roles, but we serve under the leadership of a pastor. And so that's what a second chair leader is. We have influence, we are leaders, but we're in a little bit of a subordinate role, so we're not the top dog.
So what would be some of the challenges that are built into that kind of role? And then also, what are some of the benefits to not being necessarily the top dog, but still being in leadership over others?
So there's some tensions that go along with this, but out of those tensions come some benefits. So one of the first tensions is that I am a subordinate, but I'm also a leader. And kind of wrestling through with that and recognizing that my effectiveness as a leader is best when I have a good relationship with my first chair. And so making sure I have that communication with him, making sure we have this good working relationship. But the benefit that comes out of that, I have a front row seat to learn from my first chair, to learn how he or she leads, to learn how they deal with things. So that's a great benefit out of that. The other tension is that this vision of I have to drill down into my narrow area of responsibility and deal with logistics, but I need to keep my eye on the 50,000 foot overall vision of the organization. The first chair gets to live in that 50,000 foot and give vision and direction. So I take that vision and put it into practice. So the benefit of that is I have a lot of influence in the application of the vision and ministry of the organization or the church. But there's a little bit of struggle. You've got to keep one eye here and one eye there. And then probably the last real tension, it's probably more of a personal tension that second chair leaders have, is that as a leader, I want to dream, I want to grow, but I also need to be content with the place that God has me. So while I may not be in the top chair, I need to be content here and grow with that.
That's so good. So what would you say then, let's focus on the leader aspect of the second chair leader. What are some of those things that you need to incorporate in your day-to-day that help you lead well with your team as someone who's not only leading them, but also leading them in communicating the vision of the one that you're serving in that second chair role?
So one of the unique things about a second chair that I've learned is that, let me back to the first chair. The first chair, because of his position, because they're senior pastor, because they're president of the organization, because of their position, they have some credibility and respect as a leader, and then they build relationships. As a second chair, my credibility starts with the relationships I build with my team. And then as they trust me, they trust my leadership. And so building relationships is so important. That's why it's so important for me to spend time with my team, spend time with those I'm leading. But out of that, then I can communicate to them the mission and vision, direction, things that are happening from the first chair to them. But then I can also communicate back to my first chair leader about how things are going. What is the temperature? How are people taking what's happening? I don't want him to be blindsided by anything. I don't need to tell him every little thing, but I also want to give him feedback. And so there's this two-way communication that is so very important.
That's really practical. Let's kind of drill down into that a little bit. Like, let's say you've got someone on your team who doesn't understand a decision that the top leader made, or the pastor has made. And how do you navigate that tension between you are leading, you are also being led in that organization, church, or ministry, and how do you help maybe people that you're responsible to lead navigate things that are either uncertain or they don't understand, especially recognizing that you may not be at liberty to share all the information that you know, but you still have to lead the team through that transition?
Well, it really comes back to that building of that relationship. So as a leader, my primary goal to the people I'm leading is to give hope and assurance. My primary goal to my first leader is to make him successful in carrying out the mission and vision that God's given him for our church or our organization. And so I start with those building those relationships. And then as I communicate, my first role of communication is giving hope and assurance that God is still in control, that I trust my our pastor or our leader at the top, and that while I may not even know everything, that I trust him, and therefore I can communicate that to him, to the people I'm leading. Sometimes, you know, because I've built that trust, I have to say to my team, you know what? I can't tell you that right now, but trust me, it's going to be okay. Sometimes I even have to communicate, we have no idea, but we're working on it, but it's going to be okay. And then as those things happen, I can continue to cast the vision from the top down.
Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about leading through transition. Every church, every ministry, every family really is going through a time of unprecedented transition. And that word unprecedented, I think people are even calling for a moratorium on that because every day it's like something unprecedented is happening. We still don't know what life is going to look like on the other side of COVID-19. We don't really know what normal is going to look like. In fact, some people are recognizing that we're going through almost processes of grief of the life that we used to have, and we're trying to navigate what it's supposed to look like now or what it can look like now. You have led a team through organizational change. Obviously not to the scale of a global pandemic. None of us have done that before. But you do know what it's like to go through the questions of information and the uncertainty. How can we be someone, especially if you're in that second tier leadership position, how do you lead your team through the transition and the uncertainty of coronavirus when we're trying to even figure out what our jobs and ministries are going to look like at all? What would you say to the man or woman in that situation?
So when you're going through change and transition, I've served in a church who's been through a church split. I've been in a church that's been exponential growth, which created some issues. Of course, here at Southwestern, we went through some presidential transition, and now we have this pandemic. So I feel like I've learned a few things along the way. And this can be some of the hardest times for a second chair leader. Sometimes it's because you don't have all the information, but you're trying to give that hope and assurance still. And so I hear a lot about these are the steps you take. These are the things you do. One of the biggest things I have learned through all of my leadership experience is it's not so much what you do, but how you do it, because we're all in different contexts. So one list doesn't work for the other person, but there's some things of how we lead that makes a difference. Probably the most important thing is that I myself as a leader are resting in the hope, because I had to recognize that when in this pandemic, or when we're going through change, I am not immune to the effects myself. Mm-hmm. I've grieved myself. I've been negatively impacted, not health-wise, praise the Lord, yet, but I know friends that have. I have family members that I'm concerned about. And so I need to daily make sure that my feet are grounded in the assurance that while change is constant, God is consistently constant. And so I need to check in every day with the Lord and know that he's still in control. None of this has caught him by surprise. Sometimes in the hardest of days, it's a daily, monthly, daily, hourly, where I actually verbally say, okay, God, I trust you. I know you've got this. Because if I have that grounded in, when I speak that to my team or those I'm leading, it's not hollow words. It's to say, you know, we're all struggling, but I have the hope and assurance. And so that's so important to make sure I myself am grounded.
So what would some of your priorities be for your team? One of the challenges is that none of us is as productive as we typically are during a work week. We all are struggling with what can we actually get done, what's realistic. How do you help your team move forward in productivity, in accomplishing vision, and even looking beyond these days of quarantine and coronavirus? What's practical? What do you expect from your team? And what do you just kind of let go of?
So with my team, I actually, because we are working distanced apart, we're working from home, I upped the number of check-ins. I actually call them staff check-ins or team check-ins. They're not long meetings. We do them through Zoom. Sometimes we do them for Microsoft Teams, but it's just a check-in. Sometimes it's a for me to check in and see how they're doing emotionally, see how they're doing even physically, if there's physical needs, even to see, okay, what did you do today? One of the struggles today, we may get through a whole day like, what did I even do anything today? And then through that, we celebrate the small successes because we're all going to have, it's the baby steps of growth and success. We want to continue to move forward. So we celebrate the small successes. We also lament the losses because there have been losses. And I don't want us to shy away as leaders in speaking about the losses. There's a time of lament that's going to come out of this. I've talked to moms who are lamenting over the things their high school seniors have lost. And it's not physical things. It's just memories that they thought they would be able to make, or the gathering in the community that we don't have, and to say we're disappointed that, yes, we're glad we have the technology, but man, I would just love to sit across the table and have a cup of coffee with somebody. And just to say, you know what, we don't have that right now. And to lament that, but we do it with hope and with a view to the future, to know that God can still do his work as we put words to that.
Well, thank you, Terry, for this very practical discussion for ministry leaders and how timely it is for where we all find ourselves right now. And thank you to our viewers for joining us. For more information about Southwestern Seminary and Scarborough College, including our 8-week online courses this summer and fall, please visit us at swbts.edu. I'm Katie McCoy. This is Ministry Now, helping you live your calling. See you soon.